It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
His usual position at the control panel. Well, some scores from last night, the game that you heard here on Q92, Dawson Boyd defeating Lacaparra Valley 35-13. The score looks a lot bigger than the actual game was, so Eagles played a very good game against a very good team last night. Mineota and Bulge shut out YME, our next opponent, 61-0. And Bold over McRae, 70-6. Lakeview in overtime over Canby, 14-8. Minnewaska defeated Sauk Center, 34-10. Tracy Milroy Bellaton over Sleepy Eye United, 38-22. BBE over West Central Area, 32-0. Albany over Melrose, 34-7. Morris Area, Chicago, Alberta, over Thief River Falls, 42-0. Howard Lake, Waverly, Winston, 42, Montevideo, 7. Springfield over Murray County Central, 22-18. Hancock over Border West in a slugfest, 30-28. KMS and Benson, close game there. KMS won, 28-20. New London Spicer all over Foley, 31-0. Hills Beaver Creek over Renville County West, 44-6. That's kind of a surprising score. RTR shut out Wabasso, 29-0. And Hillcrest Lutheran Academy, another slugfest, 56 in Ortonville, 26. And finally, Dassel Cocato in a squeaker over Annandale, 34-33. Well, that brings us up to Tony's in the studio this morning, and kids played a lot better this past week.
Yeah, good morning. It was, we knew going into this game, it's big every time that we get together. And knowing that last year they came to Lacaparra and it was a good, close football game, we ended up winning, and we knew that they wanted to come back at that. So to start the game, you know, we got the ball to on the opening kickoff, and we put together a nice drive, 6, 7, 8 runs, and they were very successful. And unfortunately, a penalty got us caught back behind the chains, and we were unable to do anything more with it. And then there was kind of a little bit of a lull, touchdown in the first quarter to make it 7-0. And then they scored again to make it 13-0. We had blocked the extra point, and they were driving, and Davis Patzer picked off one of Liebel's passes and got us down to about the 25 or 20 yard line, and we ended up punching that one in to go 13-7, and a lot of momentum for us going into halftime. The kids were excited. I had a good conversation with them at halftime, and they were all in. Got to the third quarter, we got the ball. I believe we turned them over on downs, and we hit a 83-yard touchdown pass from Patzer to Dylan Keimig. All night long, as we had brought in this one formation, they had kind of stuffed the line of scrimmage. So we max protected it. We had 8 guys protecting on the play and 2 guys out in the pattern. Keimig kind of worked his way across the field, and Davis threw just a beautiful ball to him right in his hands, and down the sideline he went. And our sideline, the kids, they erupted. And we had a lot of momentum, and it was a lot of fun just watching him run down that sideline thinking, hey, here we are. We were in a ball game. Now we got a chance to take the lead. Unfortunately, we did not execute the extra point. So it was 13-13. And they then got the ball, and I believe there was a fourth down on that series that they were able to convert. And they ended up going in to score at that point. And then they scored again twice in the final quarter to make the score 34-13. And I told them after the game, I said, you know what, we took a jump from last week to this week as far as just the ability to play a little bit more consistent, the ability to rise to the occasion. Physicality was more apparent last night. And so I said, you guys got nothing to hang your heads about. We got to get back to the drawing board and fix our mistakes. But you know what? I thought we were right in it. And on what was it, Dawson's last touchdown, we had Jax Wells out at a corner and Boyd Kidd was down the left sideline and they had been throwing just kind of jump balls to Drew and to Brayson all night long, and we had done a nice job defending those passes. Unfortunately, he got behind Jax on this one, and he just reached back with those long arms and kind of one-handed it and pulled it in and down the sideline, and it was just a great catch. And after Jax got off the field, I said, listen, I said, that's just an amazing play. I couldn't fault really anything that he had done. I said, you know what, those things happen. And it was a great night for football. A lot of energy. There was a lot of hard hitting going on. And then, you know, the occasional, when they're getting up from piles, as footballers want to do, there was a lot of chatter going on between the guys. But it was a building game for us for sure.
Some of the stats on the game?
Offensively, Davis Patzer was 9 of 13 for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns. Gavin Meyer was 2 of 4 for 11 yards. Rushing, Landon Weber, like I said on that first series, had some nice gains. Unfortunately, we just could not get any momentum going after that first series. He had 12 carries for 38 yards. Jace DeLean had 4 carries for 12. Tegan Allpress had one rush for 3 yards, and it was a well-earned 3 yards. We tried to run him on a reverse and himself a positive, well-earned 3 yards. Davis Patzer on the night, 6 carries for -11 yards. And then Gavin Meyer, unfortunately, had 2 rushes for a negative 22 yards. Receiving, Dylan Kaimig, 4 receptions, 86 yards and a touchdown. Gavin Mortensen had 1 reception for 23 yards. Caden Kessler had 2 receptions for 17 yards and a touchdown. Brant Schomer had 1 for 9. Nolan Smith had 1 reception for 9 yards. And Brock Biernald had 1 reception for 6 yards. Defensively, Gabe Lowry had 4 tackles and 4 assists. Caden Kessler had 4 tackles, a tackle for loss, and an interception. Noah Meyer had 4 tackles and 2 assists. Tyler Earp had 3 tackles, 2 assists, and a sack. Landon Weber had 2 tackles. Davis Patzer had 2 tackles and an interception. Kaimig had 2 tackles. Tegan Allpress had 2 tackles and 4 assists. Brant Schomer had a tackle. Brock Biernald had a tackle. Blake Wells had a tackle. Grant Bierke was in on an assist. Elias Alonzo was in on an assist. Special teams-wise, in the kick return, Gavin Meyer had 4 returns. He had a nice couple of gains. First time he touches the ball in his varsity career, gets it about to the 45-yard line, makes a nice little move, and it was not really even contact, and the ball just kind of popped out of there. And he felt so bad, but I'm sure his heart was racing 100 miles an hour, and he got right back in there again and did a nice job for us in the return game. Caden Kessler had 1 return for 22, and Gavin Mortensen had 1 return for 19 yards. So, I mean,
punting was a kind of a hard thing to do, and he came out of it a couple of times with a great punt.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a mix-up. They were coming off the edge, and our tackles were going in instead of going out to block. So there was a couple of times where they were real close to blocking it. And one time they had roughed Brock. I don't know if it was really a vicious hit by any stretch of the imagination, but he did hit him as he was punting. But then, yeah, once we shored that up, he had some boomers. So that was nice to see as well out of our special teams.
Okay, anything else?
Well, we had JV on Tuesday. Yep. They went down to Mineota and lost 30-24. It was 18-14 at halftime. We were ahead. Kids played a nice game, played hard. And they will host Dawson here on Monday. The junior high played as well on Tuesday. Seventh grade won. We played Border West. Seventh grade won 42-0. And then the eighth grade lost 24-6. It was actually 8-6 at halftime. And they have a game coming up on Tuesday as well. Who they play, I don't remember exactly off the top of my head. But it, got good numbers there like we talked about last week. And this morning we start our quest for elementary football, and we have close to 70 of them. We'll be out there today. We also finished up our first season of 4th, 5th, and 6th grade in-house tackle football. Special thanks to the Red Zone Booster Club and the donors of the Booster Club that helped make this possible. They were the ones that helped supply the helmets, the shoulder pads, the gear for the kids. And so we had 33 of those kids, and they did it all during the month of August. And we finished it up Thursday night out on the field with an inter-squad scrimmage. I also want to thank Leighton Whitnable, Mason Clark, and Wyatt Halverson for helping. That was they loved it. The kids loved them. Got a lot of compliments from the parents. So that went very, very well. So they're done with that now. Now we're going to kind of get into the Flag Football League season.
Okay. Well, next week, going against an opponent that is looking for a win just like you are, and they may be, in the line anyway, maybe the biggest team in the conference.
Yeah, they're big up front. They've got four or five guys that are really good sized. And, you know, you watch film, and it's sometimes hard to compare speed or what have you. But you know size when you see it on the film.
Yeah.
But the last couple of years, we've struggled to stop the run against them. So that's really going to be the name of the game for us this week.
Okay, it's a home game.
Correct.
So come on out and watch the Eagles. So,
all right, okay. Sounds good. Great.
Paul Ramo will be on the air. So, okay, well, best of luck on Friday next week. And for your other teams in football, too, sounds like they're good numbers and having fun playing football.
Yep, absolutely.
Tony Smith on football. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash.
This week, frozen lean ground beef, $5 a pound, and redhead cheese at 10% off.
Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personal graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Wes and Karen Anderson of WD Tours has many one-day trips coming up. Stillwater Fall Colors St. Clair Riverboat Ride, Saturday, September 28th. Minnesota Vikings versus Arizona Cardinals, Sunday, December 1st. Or White Christmas at Chanhassen Dinner Theater on Saturday, November 16th. And many more one-day trips. Also, sign up for the Alaska and Yukon Cruise Tour, July 10th through the 23rd, 2025. Wes and Karen and WD Tours will be at the Lockapaw County Fair in the East Commercial Building. Stop by and say hi and check out their many tours. WD Tours, Wes and Karen Anderson. This Sunday, step back in time with Coyle's Porter Cafe and Catering for their 60s Retro Night from 4 to 8 p.m. They're bringing back the classics you love. Juicy burgers and fries, milkshakes, mouth-watering coney dogs, and footlongs. Whether you're dining inside or outside or want that old-school car hop service, they've got you covered. Coyle's Porter Cafe and Catering is open Thursday, 6 to 8. Stop by for delicious home-cooked meals starting at $4.50. And be sure to ask about catering. Hope to see you this Sunday at Coyle's Porter Cafe and Catering, where the good times roll.
Back here at the station, talking volleyball now with the volleyball coach, Brooklyn Gould, and she's a little under the weather, I think, from over-cheering on Thursday night. But we do have two events to talk about. First off, earlier in the week, and then that exciting match with KMS on Thursday. So fire away there, Brooklyn.
Yep, so on Tuesday we made our way to McRae. And I always love going there because that's actually where I went to school. So seeing all those friendly faces and getting to see my old head coach as well. So in that matchup, it's always like, you know, I just want us to do our best too, just because that's where I went to school. And overall, you know, I thought we did pretty good. The first and second game, we were leading the majority of the game up until the end. And, you know, when you play a team like McRae, our team kind of gets just satisfied with just hanging out, you know, so we're really trying to move that mentality to, you know, like believing like we can actually beat these teams, you know, and when we were leading the majority of the time, it's, and then kind of just fall apart at the end. That's the things that we're trying to kind of get over as well. So McRae game, when it comes to stats, we had, Brandy Meyer and Jalen Lee each had an ace apiece, and then Mikey had also had an ace. When we look at kills, our kills were not very high that game. You know, throughout the McRae game, the McRae team missed a lot of their serves, so that's kind of like a reason, too, that we were up so high, too. So Brandy had four kills, Jalen had five, Abby had three, Shayla had two, Carson had one, and Callie had four. So we were trying different things in the front row, which was excuse me, really nice. We were moving the ball around a lot, too, and using some different options. Blocks, we had Brandy and Jalen that each had two. And then assist-wise, Maya Swatsky had 14. Jalen had one. Abby had four. Dig-wise, we had Peyton with six. Maya with five. Brandy with eight, Jalen with seven, Abby with five, Mikey M with four, and then Jalen Carson both had one. You know, and McRae, too, they have two really good girls that are in the front row, and, you know, before we even played them, we did a lot of research and knew where their tendencies were going and, like, lined up their rotation with ours, too. So going into the game, we had a lot of preparation, and I think that really helped, too, because we knew, you know, if someone gets pulled back, this is where they're hitting. And I think that helped the girls feel a lot more comfortable and confident as well. Yeah, so overall, against the McCray team, it was a good matchup. And, yeah, that was it was a good game. And, you know, the last game, the third set, we kind of just error after error on our side. So that's kind of why the scores were a little bit low on that third set. And then when I look at our scores for that game, the first set was 19-25, 20-25, and then 14-5 on the third set. So it was very competitive the first two sets at least, so that's good. And then when we look at our KMS game, you know, overall the KMS game was, it was good. You know, we had some ups and downs. The first game we kind of went out and just struggled playing as a team. But, you know, that second and third match, I would say that we totally dominated. We were finding our flow as a team. We were working together. We weren't working as individuals. Ace-wise, Peyton had one. Maya had two. Brandy had two. Abby had two. And Mikey Ann had two. Hitting-wise, we had Peyton ended up having one kill, and hers was a pass kill, so she was pretty excited about that. Brandy had 14, Jalen had 18, Abby had 1, Shayla had 2, and Callie had 8. So, you know, in the front row, we did a really good job dominating. You know, Jalen and Brandy were moving the ball around and running different options in the front row, so they did an awesome, awesome job. You know, and our team hitting average was 0.15, I think it was, and that's really, really good. So, like, Jalen, her hitting percentage was a 0.364, and that's probably the highest that I've seen with that, with, because she had 44 attempts. That's the highest I think I've seen with being the head coach, because she only had 2 errors. So, you know, and that's just our biggest thing I've been talking about, too, is, like, you know, on bad sets or if they're off the net or too close, we can't be swinging 100%. You know, we have to be smart with the ball. So we're starting to get there, which is good, because our team goal was a 0.1 hitting percentage. So we exceeded that, which feels good. Block-wise, Brandy had 1. Jalen and Abby both had 2. And then Callie Kahn had 1. Assist-wise, Maya Swatsky had 33. Brandy had 4. Abby had 3. Mikey and Shayla and Callie had 1. And, you know, Maya Swatsky, she set her in 33 assists. You know, she's doing such a great job. I mean, there's little things that we're trying to work through, but, you know, just getting my head wrapped around, like, you know, she's only an eighth grader, you know, so she's only going to get better over the years. And I definitely think she's gotten a lot more confident, too, in the on the serve receive or serving line, because she kind of struggled the first game with her confidence and stuff, too. Dig-wise, Peyton Sachs had 16, and Peyton really shined, I think, in the back row against KMS. You know, she was going for deep balls, doing a better job at staying on her feet, and those are things that we kind of been working on as well. So she did a really, really good job with that. Maya Slotsky had 11 digs. Brandy Meyer had 25 digs. And Brandy in the back row, not only in the front row does she do such a terrific job at being a threat, but in the back row, she's always moving her feet. You know, she will be the girl that, like, just steps up and just says, I'm going to take that ball. In 25 digs, that's pretty good, especially when you look at her kills as well. You know, that proves that she's kind of valuable in all positions. Jalen Lee had 7 digs. Abby Omlin had 10. Mikey had 13. Shayla had 3. And Callie had 2. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I keep coughing, but I'm not feeling very well. So
that's okay.
Yeah, overall, I think, you know, that KMS game was a good matchup, and we needed that game as a team for sure, because, you know, the first two games we didn't win, and so getting this win and showing that we can fight back, too, was really good. And this is probably the one game that I've seen us play most as a team, as well. And that's kind of what I told them, too, you know, just finding the flow of things. And I think they did a terrific job. There was moments in that second and third set that I was, like, in awe. I was like, yeah, this is what our team could be, because they were just flowing so nice. Set one, we lost 16-25. Set two, we won 25-12. Set three, 25-20. Set four, 16-25 with a loss. And then set five, 15-30. So we really...
And I listened to the whole thing on the radio, and Paul Ramo, I thought, might have a raspy voice on Friday too, but he's used to talking, so he was really excited and really spoke highly of the enthusiasm and dedication the girls had in that game.
Yeah, and I'm hoping we can, you know, kind of build off of that every game we go into too, you know.
Yeah. And your loss against McGray looks even better now, because they won one game against state-ranked Mineota 2 days later. So, yeah.
Yep. Hopefully we can just grow every game, you know, and that's kind of just our goal. And we could be I think we could surprise a lot of teams in our community if we can find our flow of things and just kind of play as a team. So,
Good. And you had something, I don't know if it was before or the game or whatever, the pie in the face.
Oh, yeah. I can't forget about that. I had the worst headache on Friday because of that. we did the pie in the face event between the JV and varsity game, and what we do is take the top three our votes of nominees and pie them. And I ended up getting first. Molly Hennon got second, and Paul Lowry got third. And, you know, of course, we do it right before the varsity game, so okay. I have pie and stuff all over my face for the whole game. But, it was a good time, and, you know, I got pied first, and I think the first person that tosses the pie sets the tone, and he totally wound up and got me, so it sounded like Molly and Paul Lowry also got the same thing. So.
And you had a hairnet on and goggles and the whole works.
Oh, for sure. I'm the person that sets it up. So I figured there was no rules, and, yeah, I didn't want to get in my eyes and my hair.
Right. B-Squad, C-Squad on the week.
So at McCray, C-Squad and B-Squad ended up winning, which was really good. I think watching CMB at McCray, that's the best I've seen those two teams play as well. They're starting to find their flow. They're starting to feel comfortable and trusting each other. And then against KMS, our C squad and B squad ended up losing. KMS's C squad and B squad are actually pretty good, but our girls really just struggled with staying low and going for balls and hustling, because their C squad, they had a middle hitter that was probably 5'11", so she's pretty tall.
Right.
But believing that they can beat those teams, you know, I thought that when those teams, watching them play, I thought it would be good competition, but our girls kind of just, you know, seemed like they kind of threw their hands up and weren't really in the game. So hopefully, you know, next week they'll be able to find their flow again too, because, you know, they haven't played like that at all yet. So overall, the CMB squad girls teams are very, very good as well. It's just, you know, finding that flow, kind of like varsity, and staying consistent as well.
Okay. Any junior high events? As well,
Junior high ended up playing, I can't remember if they played on Tuesday, but they played on Thursday against Dawson at home, and the 7th and 8th grade team both ended up picking up a win too. So and I know I was talking to some of the 7th and 8th grade girls at the fair yesterday, and, you know, they said it felt really good, and they're feeling like they're really working well together too, so that's always good to hear.
Good. Well,
excuse me. Next week on Tuesday, we go to TMB, so we get a long, nice trip together. Thursday, we host RCW, and then on Saturday, the varsity team has a tournament in Benson. So some big games coming up, and busy week starting next week as well. And then we start our kindergarten through 6th grade community ed volleyball next week too. So I told the girls, rest up, drink lots of water, because this is when people start to get sick. Obviously, I'm one of them, so.
Thanks for the report this morning. Best of luck. Tuesday, Thursday, we'll hear all about that on the next culture show, and then Paul Remo will contact you probably on Friday and to do that. And then best of luck in the tournament in Benson on Saturday. We'll hear all about that in 2 weeks. So,
sounds good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, got a busy couple weeks here ahead of ahead of you. So, okay.
Yes.
And heal up now. So.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That's Brooklyn on volleyball. We'll take this break and be talking girls tennis with Dr. Hacker after this.
Mineota Box Elder Bug Days is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, September 6th through the 8th. Come on over and celebrate the only bug that is welcome in Mineota. It's 3 days of action-packed fun. Entertainment in 2024, come check out Mario Callens and the Midwest Cowboys Friday night. And backed by popular demand, Allie Gray's Country Jamboree and Kayla Daniels. Don't forget the Grand Parade Sunday at 1 p.m. Mineota Box Elder Bug Day Facebook page will have a complete list of events. Box Elder Bug Days Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 6th through the 8th. See you in Mineota.
Monica, you're celebrating 17 years in business.
I sure am, Paul Ramo. And every day I get new fashions in for fall. Plus, you can come on in and sign up for door prizes daily, as I'm open Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. Enjoy a dark chocolate sea salt caramel and come wish Monica happy 17 years. And on the Friday of the bash, I will be serving hot chicken sandwiches and chips to go starting at noon. Like me on Facebook and come shop Monica's in Austin Dawson.
Get ready to rock.
At the Rock Dining and Events, as they host their 6th annual Rock Fest event on Saturday, September 7th.
Our Olympics are back.
Teams of four will face off in bar and yard games
with a chance to win up to $1,000.
Register now for $100 per team. Fireman's feed from 5 until 8.
Whole tab racing.
And at 8 o'clock, Tripwire with the opener, Brianna Hellbling. The Rock would also like to give a huge shout out to their main sponsors, Barker Excavating, Jesuits Electric, River Valley Aesthetics by Jennifer Munson, Thorstad Construction, Rockfest at the Rock in Granite Falls going on Saturday, September 7th.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show, talking girls tennis with Dr. Brant Hacker. And two events this past week, Doctor.
Yeah, yep, we had, you know, we're kind of getting back into the groove of things. School started. We usually play on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that's exactly what we did this past week. Again, we're on the road everywhere, so we traveled over to a couple shorter trips over to Morris and over to Benson this week. So we had a couple good wins. Actually, both of them, we pulled out some close matches, 4-3 beating Benson and 4-3 also beating Morris. Both of those are looking solid teams, but, you know, we play Montevideo this coming week, just cheating ahead a little bit. And Montevideo looks like the team in our section and our conference this year right now. But coming back to Benson, we were headed over to Benson on Tuesday. We had a good match there. I'll just run through our lineup if you don't mind. Hannah Oy is playing one singles for us. She dropped that match at one singles. She's losing 6-1, 6-1. Kayla Jan has been kind of making a little bit of a name for herself for playing three-setters here, at least this past week. She won the first set 6-2. You know, let her foot off the gas, maybe got a little bit less aggressive. Ended up, things turned around quickly on her. She lost that one, kind of regrouped and picked up that second set with a nice 6-1 win. So she closed that out for us. Elsie Wiebe is playing three singles. She dropped her match 6-3, 6-3, playing well and working on, you know, keeping the ball deep, keeping pace on the ball. So she's doing well with that. Alexis Olsen is our fourth singles player and picked up a nice win at 6-4, 6-1. So we draw, you know, we split our singles 2-2. Coming down to doubles, Gertie Sieg, Sadie Hacker picked up a very tight win for us, winning 7-6 the first set in a tiebreaker, and then 6-4 the second set. So, you know, they did a really nice job playing consistently and kind of staying aggressive the whole match. Val Piatter and Maya Vergy played her two doubles. Kind of the opposite story. We lost, but again, very close. Lost the first set 6-4. and lost the second set in a tiebreaker, 7-6. So, but Val and Maya are definitely picking up their game and playing better. So, you know, it was nice to see that them being very competitive there. Bree Borstad and Reese Kuzman were our third doubles team, and they won 6-3, 6-3. And we didn't have any extra players with us that day because the Benson coach is also the band director, and he had to get in for a concert that evening. So we tried to hurry things through for him.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was a nice win for the gals, picking up that 4-3 win. You know, we're close in a few other places. I'd really like to be able to turn those into wins for us, and I think we're getting closer overall. But that got us over to Morris on Thursday. And Morris, they've got five courts. Brittany House is the coach over there. She's been over there for a long time, does a great job. Morris has 45 gals out for kind of 7th through 12th grade on five courts. So I don't know how she's doing it, but she's making it work, I guess. So, again, we picked up a nice win over there, 4-3. Morris is what we consider like more of a double strong team. That's where their strength is in their lineup. So we ended up sweeping singles. Hannah Oy, Kayla Jan, Elsie Weeby, Alexis Olson all picked up nice wins for us. Kayla, again, went three sets, and her match total time was 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Wow.
That she was out there playing singles. So she was pretty wiped and tuckered out by the time she got back in. And at the end of it, it was kind of more of a war of who was going to, you know, who had the legs, who was going to work harder, who was going to gut it out. And Kayla did a really good job there.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah, it was a marathon, exactly.
Right.
But Hannah did a nice job. I mean, Elsie, Alexis all did. Gertie Sheik, Sadie Hacker, they had a little bit of a struggle. Both of them, I mean, you could ask them, I think you'd say they were just, you know, some days you get on the court and you want everything to go the way it should or could, and it just doesn't. They ended up losing again, a tight one, 7-6 tiebreaker in the first set, 7-5 in the second set, but just couldn't turn around to make it go their way. Val Piatter and Maya Virgie lined up against, their two doubles team. They lost 6-2, 6-0. But I think Val and Maya were playing some of their best tennis in that first set. It's like a lot of sports. You can, if you line up against somebody better, it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to win. But it also doesn't mean that you can't play some really good tennis and not post the W. And Val and Maya really did a good job in their first set, staying aggressive. Their ball movement on the court, their personal positioning during their match was really good in that first set. Kind of dropped off in the second set, but I think it's something, we look for those things, we try to build on them. So they did a really good job there. Brandon Borstad, Reese Kuzman lost a tough three setter. They picked up the first set 6-2 and then lost the next two 6-4, 6-3. I think we can go back and look at, the things they were doing well in that first set 6-2. Again, hitting the ball with some pace and depth, with purpose. And not just being content to get it back over the net. I mean, they played a good team, and Morris took care of business. If we gave them easy balls, if we gave them anything at the net, they put it away and took the point. So doubles is kind of it's a complicated game. You've got to play a clean match to be able to be competitive, and they really did that. Reese and Brianna did a really good job first set, kind of dropped away that second and third set. And then we were able to bring four additional extra players with us on Thursday. We had Macy Moen, Cameron Olson, Greta Hacker, and Kenna McTye with, and they all got to play some doubles or singles. So they did a good job. Most of them picked up some Ws, some didn't, but that experience is huge, just getting out there and playing.
Yeah, so, I think the JV or junior high had some home events as well.
Yeah, exactly, right? Those same days. On Thursday, Morris came down to us and played, and on Tuesday, Benson came down and played at our court. So Austin was busy both of those days, and I'm looking forward to this next week because we go over to Montevideo. We're taking 14 players with over there, so we'll have some extra players again. But we travel as a team over to McRae and play all JV and varsity at McRae on Thursday. So it'll be great to be able to do something as a team together.
Good. Good. Okay, well, best of luck on those events this up and coming weeks, and thanks for the report this morning, and best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Hey, thanks much, Dick. I appreciate it.
Okay. Dr. Brandt Hacker on girls tennis. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
When at the Lockhart County Fair, stop by the Texas Best Barbecue Food Truck. Texas-sized portions of the best meat around. Try the Mystique Smoked Beef Brisket Sandwich. Or how about a loaded baked potato? It's huge. And my favorite, pork chop on a stick wrapped in bacon. And everyone's favorite, the Texas-sized pulled pork nachos. Look for the big red food truck that says Texas Best Barbecue at the Lockhart County Fair and say hi to John and tell him Paul sent you. Wes and Karen Anderson of WD Tours has many one-day trips coming up. Stillwater Fall Color St. Clair Riverboat Ride, Saturday, September 28th. Minnesota Vikings versus Arizona Cardinals, Sunday, December 1st. Or White Christmas at Chanhassen Dinner Theater on Saturday, November 16th. And many more one-day trips. Also, sign up for the Alaska and Yukon Cruise Tour, July 10th through the 23rd, 2025. Wes and Karen and WD Tours will be at the Lockhart County Fair in the East Commercial Building. Stop by and say hi and check out their many tours. WD Tours, Wes and Karen Anderson.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash.
This week, frozen lean ground beef, $5 a pound, and redhead cheese at 10% off.
Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. That's the Country. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the
web. Well, welcome back to the Coach's Show. There will be no cross-country report this morning because they didn't have any events, but they've got a couple next week. During the week, I think they go up to New London Spicer, and then on Saturday, a week from today, everybody's at the annual event in Milbank, South Dakota. So we'll have a report of the New London Spicer event, and then in 2 weeks have John Sherb talk about the Milbank event along with whatever else was this week. So that about wraps up the Coach's Show for another day. Come on down to the fair and vote for Kiss the Pig and walk around and see all the exhibits some of the kids will have armbands on and be last 2 days of the fair, so take advantage of that. So I end the show with three really kind of neat things that you don't think about, but maybe you didn't know that there was something about them or to learn about that. Your tongue is the only muscle in your body that is attached to only one end. Huh. And zero is the only number that cannot be represented by Roman numerals. And finally, drinking water after eating reduces the acid in your mouth by 61%. Drinking water, a glass of water before you eat, may help digestion and curb appetite. So there's three interesting facts about the human body. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.